Our Jesus Christ is wonderful. Let's all stand together. Hymn number 11, I Will Sing the Mighty Power of God.
I sing the mighty power of God. Hymn number 11.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and filled the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command and all the stars
are saved this morning? Amen. Well, we're glad to announce that Lonnie and Allison Spencer grandparents, Rachel Creed, gave birth to a healthy baby boy just the other day, 6 pounds, 8 ounces. His name is Cademan Creed. Now, we've been praying for Rachel. Rachel had a brain tumor removed a little while ago, and I just read that they actually removed one quarter of her brain, but she's functionally completely normal. Everything has been in full recovery. Other parts of the brain have taken over what that part of the brain did. And for all accounts and purposes, she's 100%. Now, they were scared. There is cancer there, and they were scared, and they thought they'd have to deliver the baby at 30 weeks because of the cancer. They wanted to start treatment, but she was healthy enough that they were able to go to 36 weeks and bring the baby to 6 pounds and 8 ounces, and the baby's healthy. And so in a few weeks, when she's recovered from birth, then they will start some radiation treatment. So pray for the Spences, pray for the Creeds. I know some of you might remember Rachel from she was real little living here, but I know that they would appreciate our prayers so much. Pastor McDonald.
Chapter 5, verse 8 says, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. There are so many causes out there in this world today, and it's important for us to see as Christians that our cause should be God and God's Word, and stick to it, stick to the program. We're the answer to the world because we have the gospel, so it's very important. Make sure that you listen to everything that's said and done and be a part of it. It's so important for us. As far as birthdays go, last week we had like 5 or 6 or 7 birthdays. This week only one. Now listen carefully, it could be you, all right? It's like you're winning something. And this week the winner goes to Eldon Ashby, who has a birthday on Wednesday. Is that correct, sir? Amen. Congratulate. Be sure to congratulate him. And it was not right now. Not right now. Okay, later on. All right, easy, John. I like your excitement. Amen. I appreciate also if you continue to pray for my wife and my daughters as they're down in Australia. And her mom is not saved, and her brother's not saved, and so she's been dealing with them, and she's been trying to find a good church down there. It's hard to find good churches, and especially in Melbourne, Australia. There's so much liberalism and things going on. And we think we have problems here, but they sure do have it there. And also, it's good to have Brother Paul and Janet McPherson back from Market Harbor, England, as they were with Rita Burns and helping her, our missionary there, and ministering over there in jolly good England. And I guess things came out. He's smiling. He looks like he's doing well, so it must have been a good trip. So it's good to have them back. Brother Rob Chernowski, if you'd open up in prayer this morning.
Father, thank you for your grace and love to us, Lord. Pray that the service may bring honor and glory to you, Lord. We pray that you would open our hearts and our ears to your word, Lord, that we may receive it. Lord, we pray that you would bless us offering. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you now as you give.
Boys and girls, you ready to go to junior church? What's that? I can't hear you. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll pray, then you can get going. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day, which you can enjoy. We just ask right now that you be with these children as they go off to junior church and be with their teachers as they teach them from God's word today, Lord. We ask that they'll learn principles that they can apply to their lives and go home and share with their parents. Lord, we just also ask you to be with the adults and help them to learn from your word as well today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, follow your teachers out the door.
Let's stand and sing together number 45. Number 45, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Number 45.
search of a child, they traveled so far, led by a star to a place of joy. Now wise men tell a beautiful story, describing the glory of a baby born. Freedom has hands, freedom has feet, truth will stand, the word will speak, the holy compassion has a tear, joy has laughter, and here ever after, peace has a smile, redemption's blood has veins to flow in, a temple to glow in.
Let's take our Bibles this morning, please. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 this morning. Tonight, you don't want to miss the service tonight. We'll be gathering around the Lord's table, enjoying our time. No, that was last week, wasn't it? I looked over and I saw Larry Wilson, and it's funny because Mr. Wilson, I was just getting up and I saw him. Every time he looks at me and he'll say, "I got a question for you." And I'll say, "Yes." And we'll walk away. And people will say, "What were they talking about?" But every month is, "Are we having the Lord's table tonight?" And I answer yes. And we finish each other's sentences now. So I looked at him and that question popped in my mind. I don't know why, but we're not having the Lord's table tonight. What we're having tonight is Brother McPherson's going to come and share from his missions trip this last week of what is going on in England. He's got some pictures to share with us and a testimony to share. And I told him, I said, "You know, I know, Paul, when you start sharing a testimony, it gets real close to preaching." And I said, "If it gets real close to preaching," I said, "you have liberty to go ahead and do whatever the Lord leads you to do." And so Brother Paul's going to come tonight and share with us the trip that him and Janet just got back from at 3:45 this morning. They got into bed. And so we're glad that they're home, and they had a great time, and I know that we'll be in for a great service tonight. So you want to come and be here for that. Also, thank you for praying for little Logan. We're glad that he's home. The Turnowskis switched spots on me. I thought they're not here, but there they are. And so he had a bit of a health scare this week, and I was talking to Debbie, and she says, "I don't know what happened." She says, "But they've tests all come back, and there's nothing wrong." And yet he was a very sick little boy. So we just say the Lord healed him. And we count that to prayer. And so thank you for praying. He's home now and doing fine. Is that right? Let's keep him in our prayers for a little bit, though. Just make sure he gets past all this. But we're so thankful that you are praying for him. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 28 with me this morning. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. How many of you had to remind yourself of that from time to time? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. They don't always work out according to our purposes. They always work out according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That purpose that God is working out in verse 28 is to make you more like Jesus. We don't always understand the struggles and the trials. But He predestinated you. He had a plan for your life that you might be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this wonderful reminder of Scripture. And I ask, Lord, this morning that You would fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. I need Your help, and so I rely upon You today to minister to hearts with Your Holy Spirit and through Your Word. Father, I pray, Lord, that each one of us would sense the Spirit's presence working in our hearts and lives and pleading with us. Father, I pray that You'd help us to be changed. Father, maybe there's somebody here today that has never entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. They've never been born again. Never put their faith and trust in You. So, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Father, speak to their hearts. Father, we just pray, Lord, that You would help us, Lord, to focus now the next few minutes as we consider the Word of God. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 31 is the title of our message this morning. If God be for us, who can be against us? But look what the Bible says. If we look back just a little bit in verse 31 to the beginning of the verse, it says, what shall we say then? Or what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I want you to notice that that question that is asked by the apostle, if God be for us, who can be against us, is a conclusion based on some facts in the Word of God. I don't know about you, but if the Bible says something, that's enough. If the Holy Spirit, by inspiration, inspired the Apostle Paul to ask the question, if God be for us, who can be against us? That would all I would need in Romans chapter 8. But he didn't just do that. He supported it with evidence, with undeniable facts from verse 1 all the way through verse 39. That verse, if God be for us, who can be against us, is the rallying cry of every soldier of the cross. Anybody who's ever put on the armor of God understands this truth that we find in Scripture. But I want you to know that though it could stand alone, God never intended it to. He gives us many undeniable facts to support. This chapter is just ripe with the grace of God. And we don't have time this morning to look at all of these reasons why we can say if God be for us. But I've chosen 9. Don't let that scare you. We'll move through them very quickly. But I want you to notice the first one back in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. I'm going to give you some supporting evidence to that statement. If God be for us, who can be against us? Because Paul himself wants us to. He says, what shall we say then to these things? What are the things that have brought us to the conclusion that God is for us? And nobody can stand against us. What are these things? I've broken them up into 3 sections for you, the supporting evidence. First of all, I want you to notice 3 things that Christ does for us. What Christ does for us. In verse 1, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The first thing we notice in the Scriptures in verse 1 that supports this statement, if God be for us, who can be against us, is this, the removal of condemnation. Like somebody on death row set free, the condemnation has been removed. The word condemnation means a damnatory sentence. The sentence has come down and our lives have been damned to eternity in hell. That's what sin has caused. Now, Revelation verses 2 through 11 give us the nature or the implications of this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You say, what is the law of sin and death? For the wages of sin is death. That's the law. But I'm free from that. We are free from condemnation. It has been removed. Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now listen to this, people. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Friend, you know you're saved today? If you have never entered into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not accepted him by faith and trusted in him alone for salvation, the finished work of Calvary was enough. When Jesus Christ shed his blood, it was to wash away all of your sins. It was to pay the price in full. And Christ said, he doesn't want to share his glory with the church. The Bible says, unto him be glory in the church. Yeah, you can't say, well, I go to such and such a church and therefore I'm going to heaven. No, God doesn't share his glory with the church. By the way, God doesn't share his glory with you either. Good works aren't enough to do it. You can't say, well, I'm just such a good person and I give to these causes and therefore I must be going to heaven. I'm so good. No, God doesn't share his glory with you. Jesus Christ alone is worthy of glory because he shed his blood and he paid the price on the cross. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, he puts his Holy Spirit into you as the earnest or the down payment of what one day is coming in full. And the Bible says, if you don't have the Spirit of God, he is none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of God within you today, you're not saved and you are under condemnation. But I'm thankful today that I'm saved. I'm thankful that there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And friend, if you're saved today, you ought to shout hallelujah. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Look, if you will, in Revelation. Turn to Revelation chapter 1 very quickly. We've got to move through a lot of points today. But I want to give you the evidence that God is for us. You know, a lot of people don't believe the Bible. Do you know that? And so if you say, well, I struggle believing the Bible, I want to prove to you today why God's for you. That God is for you. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 5. John is writing a salutation and he greets the seven churches in verse 4. And in verse 5, he says, this letter is also and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. Look what it says now. And washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hey, there's nothing else that'll remove your sins. There is nothing else. There is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. We must come to him. Revelation chapter 7. The Bible says in verse 14, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I walked in the auditorium this morning and I noticed on the screens that great verse from Isaiah, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished when he paid the price on Calvary. You wonder today, is God for me? Is God really have my best interests at heart? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Christ died for you. The removal of condemnation is what Christ does for you. Second of all, you've been raised as children. Romans chapter 8, look it with me if you will in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified, or we may be also glorified together. I want you to notice a couple different words that we notice here in the scripture. The Bible says in verse 15, we have our legal standing. The Bible says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. When you are adopted into the family of Christ, that was a spiritual adoption. That gave you a legal standing. You say, now, wait a minute. The Bible says you must be born again, and I am born into the family of God, and I understand that. The Bible says we are both adopted into the family of God, and we are both born into the family of God. You say, why do we need both? I got thinking about that. I got kind of pictured it like this. Adopted into the family gives you full rights and privileges. A little while ago, we had I only have two great aunts left, my Aunt Lola and my Aunt Blanche, and they both turned 90 a week apart. They're on Grandpa's sister and my Grandma's sister. And so we went to two birthday parties in 2 weeks for these two ladies that are 90 years old. And both times, my daughter invited Callie to come with us, Callie Judge. Well, it was interesting because at both dinners, I was introducing, you know, and sometimes you see family that you don't see in a few years, and they don't recognize, and especially Bethany's grown about a foot in the last year, and so they said, now, is this your other daughter? And they looked at Callie. Now, I wasn't offended by that, but the implication is she must be adopted because Callie is from China. She looks very different. I don't think Rob and Judy are ever, when people come and say, is this your daughter, about Callie, they understand. They probably mean adopted. She doesn't look the same as family. But there's nothing wrong with that. She's just as much their daughter as anybody else that's born into the family. Amen? Hey, I like that I'm adopted into the family of God. I like that I'm just as much as child. Now, here's the thing. Adopted children don't always bear the resemblance of the family. That's why I was talking about Callie. She's from China. Rob and Judy are from Canada. Their skin complexion's a different color. Their characteristics are a little bit different. Callie is much smarter than any judge I've ever met. Just ask her. She'll tell you. Amen? She's a smart kid. Oh, funny. The other night, I got to tell you this. It has nothing to do with my message. You just need to know this. The other night, Callie had her mom's phone, and Channing texted her and said, can I go to Mr. Baker's house? And Callie wrote back, have you finished your homework? Thought it was her mom. She's a smart kid. But here's the honest truth, friends. I'm glad I'm adopted because sometimes I don't look like Jesus. Did you catch that? Sometimes I don't look like my father. And I'm sure glad that I have legal standing. I'm sure glad I have a Bible that reminds me I'm a child of God even though I don't look like my family. Isn't that a good thing? You say, is God for us? You've been raised as children. Now the Bible goes on to say also, in verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He reminds you of that standing. And tells you are his child. And if children, look at this, then heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. Are you kidding me? I expect one day when my mom dies that they'll read the will. And I'm expecting it's probably 50-50 between Wade and I. I don't know who's getting Frank, but one of us do. But it's 50-50. That's what I'm expecting. Now, since I've been pastor here, I've been written out a few times. But The Bible says that I'm joint heirs with Christ. When it's all divided up, I get as much as Christ does. Boy, that hardly seems fair to him. But that's the, you say, is God for us? If you're in Christ, he is. You are joint heirs as a child. What does Christ do for us? The removal of condemnation. We see we're raised as children. The third thing is you're redeemed from corruption. Look at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain and together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Hey, is God for you? One day he's going to redeem your body. He's going to make you perfect and whole. He's going to take away all the pain and the suffering of this life. Often we go to a funeral. I went to a funeral last Tuesday and another one tomorrow. And there's mourning and there's grieving. But there's also hope if somebody knows Jesus Christ that they're free from their suffering. Their body has been redeemed. They're at home with the Lord. I tried to give you this verse last week and I butchered it a little bit. The Bible says this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, the world foolishly all expresses a hope of heaven without Christ. You ever heard that? It could be the most wicked person dying in terrible sinful conditions. Well, they're in a better place today. Oh, friend, that's not the Bible. But the Christian has hope not only of heaven, but we have hope of one day having an eternal home, a new and perfect body. You know that God could have given you a better body today. Did you know that? He could have. But Paul says, I thank God for the afflictions and the trials. Because through those trials and afflictions, you learn this, my grace is sufficient for thee. The trials and the afflictions of this body draw us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to show you a second thing this morning. What does Christ do in us? We talked about what Christ does for us. What does Christ do in us? Look at verse 26 now. The first thing is this, he prays for our failings. He prays for our failings. If you're keeping count, we're on number 4. Romans 8, 26, the Bible says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know what your infirmities are? They're your weaknesses and your frailties. I was just saying a moment ago that God could have given us a perfect body right now. If you want. Adam had a better body than you and I suspect he lived to 930 years old. How about Methuselah? We don't even know if they're the oldest people because the man usually dies first. They could have had wives that lived much longer. The Bible says 930, 969 for Methuselah. Boy, the bodies that God gave them. He knows our weaknesses and our frailties. But the Bible says, and the apostle teaches us, we ought to thank God for those frailties. Turn to that passage. Let's read it this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And look with me in verse 7. I think this is important enough. We need to get this. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm in verse 11. Chapter 11. Verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostle, though I be nothing. Paul thanked God for the infirmities and weaknesses that God had given him, because in that rested the power of Christ. Romans chapter 8 tells us the Holy Spirit knows our hearts, He knows our lives, He knows our weaknesses, and He prays for us. You say, is God for me? You probably have heard in the news this week that a singer-songwriter, I don't know much about him, by the name of Andre Crouch passed away. He wrote a song years ago that we have sang in church. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. The verse says, I thank God for the mountains, and I thank God for the valleys. I thank Him for the trials He's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I'd never know there was a God who could solve them. I don't know much about the man, but I know that those lyrics are very appropriate, aren't they? That's through the trials and the sufferings of this life that we grow closer to the Lord, and that God reveals Himself to us. Is Christ for us? Yes, He prays for our failures. I want you to notice also He plans for our future. Verse 29 of Romans chapter 8. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Can I just stop right there and say God has a plan for your life? If you are known of God, He has a plan for your life. He predestinated you. And here's the plan. You say, wait a minute, you know the plan for my life? Can you read my palm? Can you look to the stars? Do you have a horoscope? No, I have a Bible. And the plan for your life is this. Them He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's God's plan for everybody. Now, before you can be conformed, you have to be transformed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. But be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered Nicodemus and He said, ye must be born again. Before we can be conformed or made into the image of Christ, we have to become children of God. We must have the Holy Spirit of God living within us. God has a plan for your future. That's to be conformed to the image of His Son. We ought to be more like Jesus Christ every day. That's God's plan for you. And you say, now how does that prove to me that God is for us? Because He wants you to be just like His Son. The perfect and the holy Jesus. He says, I want you to be like Him. I want you to be part of the family. I want you to resemble Him. He doesn't just want you to be adopted. He wants you to be born in so that you can look like Jesus. Jesus wants to beat His chest and say, this is my Son and I'm proud of Him. Boy, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, and this sounds terrible at first, so bear with me. It sounds terrible to say that when Stephen was stoned is my favorite passage of the Bible. But I love it when he looks up and Jesus is standing at the right hand of His Father. Because my Bible teaches that when Jesus went to heaven, He sat down at the right hand of His Father. But He stood up and took notice when one of His children were being abused. What a great passage to think. Is God for us? Oh, He sure is. He wants you to look just like His Son. Here's the sixth thing. He pronounces you fit. Look at verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. He pronounces you fit. When you were called into service. But wait, you can't just be called into service without being pronounced fit. And the Bible says, whom He called, He justified. That word justified means to be declared righteous. Righteous just simply means being right with God or in the right condition before God. You can't do that on your own. You must be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You must have your sins forgiven and be made clean. You must be declared by God justified if you're going to be fit before Him. You say, is God for me? He's pronounced you fit. He's pronounced you ready for heaven. He's pronounced your body and your life prepared to enter into that holy place. Do you know in the Old Testament to go into the Holy of Holies was only the great high priest? There was only one that was allowed. And when he went in, he carried blood. And he laid it upon the altar. Now I can go boldly in the throne room of grace because Jesus has pronounced me fit. Because I've been justified before God. That's what Christ does in us. Now let me give you the last three. And these are categorized as what Christ does before us. I want you to see, if you will, verse 32. Verse 32. We're doing pretty good for time. He that spared not his own son. Back up to verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Here's the seventh thing. He delivers us through his supply. He delivers us through his supply. The fact that God was willing to give us his son to take care of our greatest need should help us understand that he'll take care of even your smallest needs. It's interesting how the scripture is laid up. The theme of this passage is Romans 8, verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? 30 verses, he gives us many, many things that tell us in declaring us the grace of God in our lives, the things that he's done for us, the things that he has done in us. And then he concludes, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And then he knew there'd be skeptics. So he just keeps on preaching. Amen? He says there's a few more things you need to know. If you're not convinced as of yet what God has done for you, that he has removed the condemnation, that he has raised you up as children, that he's redeemed you from corruption, that he prays for your failings, that he plans for your future, that he pronounces you fit, then there's a few more things you need to know. He delivers us through his supply. And the greatest supply that he ever gave to us was the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says very plainly, in verse 32, he that spared not his own son. All of this was accomplished because God was willing to give his son. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know what I've learned? That when I pray for something, God already had it prepared. Isn't that interesting? We were talking to somebody a little while ago, I can't remember the name. It was a missionary that had a need, and one of the deacons was concerned, and so we brought it and said, well, let's send them a little money to take care of that. And I'll tell you exactly who it was. It was Steve and Lois Donnelly. And we had read in the news and things that their heating prices had gone up, that they had tripled this year. That the cost of natural gas and I guess they use propane, the cost of propane, their heating costs were going to triple. We had heard that through the news, and so I called his missions director, and I said, Brother Forney, I said, we have heard this about up in the north. I said, do you know that that's going to affect the Donleys or whoever? And then he says, oh, absolutely. He says, they're really scared. He says, it's $700 a month now. If it triples, it'll be $2,100 just for heat. And when it's 50 below, you need heat. You know, you can't just put a candle out and hope it makes do. And so we talked to the deacon. He said, well, let's send some money. Let's try to help them and get. And so we sent, I can't remember what it was, a couple $1,000. So we want to help with a little bit of your heating costs. And so we wrote a note and we sent a couple $1,000 to help. I got an email back from Brother Donnelly, and he said, I had to pull my truck over and start crying. He says, we were sitting at lunch just an hour before, praying, what are we going to have to give up? What are some things we can cut out so we can keep the heat on this winter? He says, I didn't know that God had already supplied the need. Isn't that something? Our deacons meeting was the night before they had their lunch. It was the night before they decided they were going to have to cut some things out. Now listen, Donleys aren't against sacrifice, don't get me wrong. They're willing to do that. But they were so thankful that their God was able to supply their needs. Amen. He delivers to our supply. 2 Peter chapter 1 says this, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. Here's the eighth thing. Is God for you? He'll deliver through his supply. But he'll also defend us through his Son. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Paul, I think, knew exactly who he was talking about when he said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Because that old devil, he likes to accuse. That's one of his names, accuser. And he might be calling out your name before the Lord right now. He might say, did you see what that Brad Vogel did this week, God? Do you see what he did? He might be pointing fingers at you right as we speak. And I can just see the Lord sitting on the throne, and he wouldn't have to do this, but I think for dramatic effect, maybe he would. Maybe he just opened the Bible. He'd open it up to Romans 8, and he'd say, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's me who died. Yea, rather, is risen again, is even at the right hand of God. And maybe he'd just take out the keys of death and hell and just shake them in the devil's face. Look what I got. Hey, God is for you. He has the inspired word of God on your side. And if God has pronounced you fit, he also defends you as his child. He defends us. Here's the ninth thing. He delights us through his security. Verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad to have that security today? Do you know that today there are Christians in Syria that are rotting away in a prison? ISIS has put them there until one day they'll drag them out and perhaps kill them. There's Christians in lots of parts of the world that are just buried in deepest, darkest prisons. The living conditions are pitiful. And they wonder, does God love us? Is God for us? But even in that prison, nothing can separate them from the love of God. There's people today that are bowing down with their heads upon a block, and God is reminding them that he loves them. That nothing, the sword, peril, nothing will separate them from the love of God. You've gone through some dark moments too. You might not have had to give your life. You've not been thrown into prison for your faith. But we've had some struggles and trials, haven't we? Has your heart ever been broken? Do you hurt even now? Nothing separates you from the love of God. There's no trial, there's no distress. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, the devil himself cannot separate you. Nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Hey, there's nothing coming down the road that you have to worry about that'll ever take you away from the love of God. Nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Would you do me a favor and back up to verse 1? We're going to start over. No. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are, what are the next three words? In Christ Jesus. Verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is, what are the next three words? In Christ Jesus. From beginning to end, you want to know if God is for you? First of all, you have to be in Christ Jesus. You must be his child. You must be born again. Here's the sad reality, friends. If you are not in Christ Jesus, God doesn't know you. Now, he sent his son to die for you, but he sent his son to die for the whole world. He doesn't know you personally. The Bible said there will be many that come before the Lord, and they'll say, have we not prophesied in thy name? And have we not cast out demons in thy name? And he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me. Are you in Christ Jesus? Have you made sure of your own salvation? Have you trusted Jesus Christ and him alone? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. Are you part of the called today? Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Are you part of that crowd? Are you in Christ today? Do you know Jesus? My prayer today is that for the children of God, that you'd be reminded that God is for you. That he loves you very much. That he has done a work in your life that is unparalleled. And he alone is worthy of praise and glory because of it. I'm convinced, folks, if we will make much of Jesus, if we will make him high and lifted up, that the world will want him. But you have to know what you have. Romans chapter 8, I just pulled out 9 things. We could have pulled out 100 more. That's the grace of God summarized in one chapter.
My prayer today is that for
all these things he's done. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. How could we list the mercies of God? We'd be here all for eternity. John put it this way, I suppose all the books in the world couldn't hold all the good things that Jesus did. The very last verse of the book of John, you look it up when you go home. But maybe there's somebody here today say, I'm not in Christ. I've never trusted him alone. I don't know that I'm saved. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you will just trust in Jesus today, he will remove the condemnation, but you must trust in him alone. Nothing else. Don't mix it with anything. Just trust in Jesus Christ alone in the finished work of Calvary, because he paid the price for your sin. The wages of sin is death. He took care of it. He shed his blood and paid the price on the cross of Calvary. He did that for you. And if you'll just trust him, you'll be adopted into the family. You'll be born into the family. And you'll be called a child of God, and then he'll know your name. Then he'll know your name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the reminder today, Lord, that you are for us. Who could be against us? Father, bless this invitation time. I pray that you'd encourage Christians today to rejoice in the fact that God is for us and all these many blessings that we've read about today. I pray, Lord, that you challenge sinners, Lord, to trust in Jesus Christ to be saved from their sins. And Father, we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The instruments are playing. If God has spoke to your heart, would you step out and come? Christian, give thanks for what God has done in your life. Maybe there's one that's not saved. If I could pray for you and help you in any way, would you just slip up your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call out your name. Is there one? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I've trusted in Jesus. Brother Baker's going to sing the first verse, I'm a child of the King. If you know that verse or join in on the chorus, sing along with him this morning.
My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands. Child of the King, a child of the King. I'm a child of the King.
Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. Some of our young men, Brad and Paul, have been teaching in different classes and tried to give them some experience. Paul is going back. He's got one more Sunday. Is that right, Paul? And so if you would like to have him in your Sunday school class next Sunday, would you let us know and invite him? And I think it's good when they come home if they teach five-year-olds and they teach 55-year-olds and 85-year-olds. Gives you a good range of experience. And so use these young men. Brad will be with us until probably September. And so you can use him whenever you like him. He'll be helping out in our teens a little bit. But if you'd like to use him in your class, feel free to do that. We'd like them to get some experience. All right? Pastor McDonald, you come.
That's a good message this morning. And it got me thinking about God doesn't share his glory, not even with the church. It's all him. It's all him. And praise God, it is all him and not us. But we are invited through adoption. What a message. It's good. It's good. As far as announcements go, please take the take to heart the insert that's in your, I believe everyone's got one in their bulletin. And that is 10 reasons we still have Sunday evening service. It was written by another preacher, but I'll tell you, everything he put in there is really applicable. If you're ever considering... if you're not a regular Sunday evening attender, I tell you, it gives you some good reasons why. It's a great time for the family of God to get around the table together, not just around the communion table, but around the table up here as the Word of God is being preached, and a great time for other opportunities. And speaking of that, we're going to have just a reminder again that Brother Paul McPherson is going to be showing some of his slides and telling about his trip, his missions trip over to England. So I really encourage you to come out tonight and be and support Brother Paul, and you'll get a blessing out of it. I certainly did just talking with him about it. The 2015 Bible reading schedules are on the corner table out there in the foyer, and it's still a great time to start if you're in practice or if you want to get in practice reading through the scriptures, the entire Bible in the year. It's still time to get going on that, so I just invite you to take one of those schedules off the corner table. Dinner for Eight's coming up again. By the way, Dinner for Six or Dinner for Eight, if you want to really get to know people, and I've been to, I don't know, three or four of these, and they are actually a blessing. There's people that you see all the time. You do. You see them all the time, but you really don't really get to know them. And just one simple meal like this is a great great time to do that, so you won't regret it. So if you want to sign up for those, please do so out in the hallway, Dinner of Six and Eight. Yes? Oh, yes. Do we have these out on the table as well? We have lots out on the table. Please pick one of these up. And that is it's got, now this is a DVD, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
It's a DVD, so there's video of the whole shot. Is that why it wouldn't work in my truck when I put it into my seat? Anyway, please pick one of these up. You like good music and that. It's got the Church family, the Clark family, the Lake family, the Featherstones, and the Harvest Trio. And it's free, all right? And they're out there in the main table. And please don't try to put them in your car or truck. They won't play. You have to actually have a DVD player. That's why it didn't work. All right, I should read the labels. Also, let's see here. I have a meeting tonight, I'll announce it again, but for those going to St. Lucia, I got some good news, got everything scheduled out with Brother Smith and that, so if we could meet shortly after the evening service tonight, that would be important. And anything else that I don't have? Oh, I'll turn it over right now this time to Brother Calvin Baker, and he'll close in prayer as well.
Quick reminder, we have our winter carnival this Saturday. It's January 17th. We still have about 25 or 30 families that haven't been chosen off our bulletin board there. So if you guys, if you haven't picked one of our bus families to be a blessing to, I'd encourage you to stop by there and to pick a family and drop off a present for them. We're also looking for some of our Sunday school teachers and our Master Club teachers, if you'd like to come for the dinner as well and just be able to meet some of our children and some of their families and to talk with them and get to know them, let us know here at the office and we'll put you down and we'll get some totals done up for that. Again, that's this Saturday at noon. They'll be having a dinner, and then we'll be doing some games here on the ground, and I believe a sleigh ride or a wagon ride as well, so some fun things for that. For our teens, we have a teen Pizza Hut fellowship tonight after the evening service, so right as soon as Pastor's done, we'll head over there and get some pizza and wings and have a good time. And then also our sign-up sheets for Snow Camp are out on the corner table there. So that is coming up at the end of the month. The first, the seniors get to go the last weekend of the month, and then the juniors the following weekend. The cost for that is $75. And so again, like other years, we're also looking for some sponsors. So if you're able to help send one of our teens to camp, either talk with myself or just put it in the offering, and then we can make sure as many teens get to go as possible. There is also a sign-up sheet for transportation, just to arrange rides going to the camp. So if you are interested in going, make sure you pick up a form first off, but then also you sign up and let us know what week you would like a ride. Otherwise, we may not have a ride for you. Okay, so let's pray, and then we will be dismissed. God, we thank you so much for your word and for the opportunity just to hear a message from it, and just a reminder that the reminder that you're for us and that you love us, God. I pray that we'd think on that throughout the day, and that we'd be thankful for that. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.